All right, welcome this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 3. We'll be mainly in there, but we will, of course, refer to other passages of Scripture at length. I think it's essential for us to read together what might be considered a lengthy portion of Scripture in today's modern preaching and teaching. I doubt seriously it would have been considered a lengthy passage of Scripture in the days of the man who spoke these words. I don't know if you ever noticed or not, but in the beginning of 1 Corinthians, he starts off and he addresses them. When you get to the end of the book, and most of your good King James Bible texts, you'll have what's called a subscript, and it names four fellows there that took these words by dictation from Paul and wrote them down. That's what it means. Most of the scriptures were spoken. Holy man God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and you have to get in your heads here that the Corinthians were gifted people. They were knowledgeable people. If you would go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said some pretty positive things. But the problem they had was they had not entered into what he considers meat, and that is the crucified life. My subject goes even deeper than that, because as we read this, I want you to keep in mind what Paul is describing to them about this Christian life. So let's start in verse 1. Now, he's already acknowledged in the first two chapters that these people were gifted and they were knowledgeable. And he would thank God for many good things about them. Remember that. It's funny today. I hear preachers rail on about the Corinthians and stuff. And honestly, especially the guys I know, a lot of them are just as carnal as can be. But they don't happen to be carnal by their own estimation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He's not saying they weren't saved. Spiritual as in not just having the Spirit, not just being Spirit-born, but being Spirit-born and walking after the Spirit. Okay? He said, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet are ye able. Now there are some Bible doctrines that have nothing to do with prophecy, and they have nothing to do with the so-called meatier things of the Bible by many of my Bible-believing brethren, and I'm an absolute King James Bible believer. I'm a moderate dispensationalist. I know whereof I speak. And the problem you have is every group of people I've ever come across, especially that claim to believe one Bible, they have their little set of things that they want to believe are meat. That is, it sets them off as a stronger Christian. And these Corinthians were that way. What Paul's about to tell them is, I could never give you the meatier things of the word because you're carnal in your mind. He said, I couldn't speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. They're not lost, but they're carnal in their living. He says, for hitherto, verse 2, ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And he's putting it right there on them. They had a lot, they did, but they walked by their natural persons. I know people. I could name people right this minute that I've known through the years that know their Bible. And they've sat under men who learned their Bible from men who taught the Bible. But in their daily life, in their interaction with each other, in the habits they allow in themselves, they're carnal. And they don't think themselves carnal. They think everyone else is carnal. They think if you listen to weird music or you know, someone has a different kind of haircut or colors their hair a funny color or whatever, or wears their hat different, that's what carnal is. Now, that's just different. And sometimes it is weird. These people had a lot, but they walked by their natural person. Their tendencies had not been crucified. They had attitudes and prejudices. For while one saith, verse 4, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are ye not carnal? And earlier he tells them, he says, some of you are even so pious as to say, well, I am of Christ. Okay? Everyone wants to be of somebody. I don't know if you realize it or not, but that is human nature. That's why advertising does what it does. That's why somebody will pay a company. They will buy a hat with that company's logo on it, and so they're walking around advertising that company while they paid that company to advertise for them. You'll get that here later. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and they do it with sports teams and identity, and they have to identify with somebody. And I mean, people in their 20s and 30s and 40s are horrible about it right now. For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. So human nature seeks association, it seeks elevation. But Paul's saying, look, God's the one who called us, God's the one who gave it. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We are mere laborers. God has to do the life-giving. So beware of systems and personalities and allegiances. Beware of anything that wants to associate fruit with the man. Be careful. Be very, very careful. And if you've been around this a lot, and you have, if you've been around certain kinds of preaching and teaching in Bible-believing circles, you better be careful. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. All right, so if you're not anything, you're what? You're nothing. See, a lot of guys pretend to believe that, but they don't when you get them alone. Yeah. I tell you something. Here's the great danger today. Some of these older guys are telling the young people, you know, it's so hard to find young preachers and stuff today. And so those who happen to be in church, you know, they get to thinking about themselves. Well, I'm special. I am rare. You're not rare. You're rare, all right, as in uncooked. You're rare as in you need a whole lot of help. You see, if you're not careful, you buy into that as a young person. You know what the problem is? Number one, it's like Elijah. There's 7,000 he's reserved, okay? Number two is what my subject is today. Now watch. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. You can't find that today. Everybody wants to be special. I'm talking about in preaching and teaching in churches. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Mark this down. Make effort goals, not outcome goals. Okay? Make effort goals. Here's what effort I'm going to put into you, into knowing your Bible, into talking to people about Christ. Now watch. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. Husbandry has to do with livestock and living. Building has to do with structure. And so he's going to use this analogy in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Would you mark that? I don't know if you know much about it, but they use this term in many parts of the world today, a master builder. And a master builder isn't based upon someone who's gotten awards or put their home in a parade of homes or been elected or voted or whatever in that way. A master builder is someone who has been qualified to build. And we're going to talk about that here a little bit. But notice, as a wise master builder, now watch. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Where did he lay the foundation? In other people's lives. Now here's my question. Where are the master builders today? Now I'm telling you, 95%, if not higher, out of 100, 95 out of 100 men who get up and open the book have never taken the trouble to become a wise master builder, number one. And number two, they are not having that effect upon the people to whom they minister and with whom they interact. You see, the wise master builder, what he does, he lays a foundation for you to build upon, and there is nothing as important in building as the foundation. See, there are many ways for us to get to this subject, and I want to read on and come back to it. But I want to put it into your mind. I have my intended purposes is twofold. Number one, to reveal the dilemma and the issue. And number two, to exhort people to hard work. Those who should become master builders and those who need to get under one. I am telling you, as much as I know how from the Bible, there is a dearth today in the world, the Christian world of Bible-believing Christianity, of master builders. There's no dearth of guys who want to get up and preach. There's no dearth of those who want to be called a preacher and a teacher. There's no dearth of that. You want to know why they don't have young men like they think they used to? The guys who say this, we're in a minority themselves, but they got under a master builder, but none of them became master builders. None of them. They became preoccupied with their own life, and they somehow expected that you could produce men and women with a foundation without laying the foundation. That is absurd. You can never have the foundation of a building that is worth building upon without great effort, work, and design, etc. We'll talk about it. Let's read on. For other foundation, this is verse 11, 1 Corinthians 3, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, do you see the difference? Gold, silver, precious stones, one thing. Wood, hay, stubble. Now here's the problem. Most people think that your whole building as a Christian is either gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. No, it could be mixed in. And so picture that there's this mixture, and so when the fire comes, verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. That's called the judgment seat of Christ. Okay? Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Fire is associated with faith. Faith is associated with gold and silver and precious stones. Souls are too. Now, without trying to dissect the judgment seat of Christ, that's not our main issue today. You got to get this. In your building, you could have some gold, you could have some silver, you could have precious stones, you could have some wood, hay, and stubble. See, it's not all one or the other. And most of these guys want to think that if they can get up and get enough meetings every year and pay a few bills and someone pat them on the back and say, oh, God showed up when you showed up. No, he didn't. God was there all the time. That is absolute anti-biblical rubbish. Now, do I understand God moves? Oh, yeah. Do I understand that when a group of people want the Lord to have his way? But it's about him having his way, friend, not about him manifesting some emotional response. Most people's lives are as shallow as the man that Jesus Christ spoke of, which we're going to go look at, who built his house upon the sand because nobody wanted to build a foundation, which is hard, long, designed, unthankful work. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. Know you not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. God might destroy it over a long period of time. You want to put stuff into your body? You want to do things to yourself? Do you know that lying and gossip and tale-bearing preachers will take its toll upon you? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. You cannot follow the world's philosophy and follow Christ. Oh, there's some earthly common sense, but you can't follow the world's philosophies and follow Christ. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. God laughs at man's so-called philosophical strengths. It is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, speaking of Simon Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. You're Christ and Christ is God. Where are the master builders? Now the Christian life has many illustrations. He talks about a fight in 1 Corinthians 9 and in Timothy. He calls it a race in 1 Corinthians 9 and Hebrews 12. He talks about wrestling in 2 Corinthians 10. Here, it's building. It's building upon Christ to be judged and to be rewarded or suffer loss. You say now, someone says this, how could going to heaven have anything negative? Okay. What if you get to heaven and you've got eternal life and then you realize what you could have had forever? And that is God's glory, God's honor. Your daily life here counts. It counts forever. So you can be rewarded forever or barely saved forever. And the judgment seat of Christ is a real event, a very real event that you're headed to if you are a Christian. Now what Jesus taught was that you build the rewarded, solid Christian life upon his sayings and obedience to them. Luke chapter 6 for a minute, just to show you that your King James Bible is a very special treasure. It's a blessing. Luke chapter 6. See, we hold to the King James Bible because we don't give ourselves the power and the right to add to what the words mean. The English language is such a treasure, especially if we'll go back and look at its foundation. We don't need to add to it and put our own little spin on it. It's right there. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, and laid the foundation on a rock. Notice the word foundation. See? Paul, as a wise master builder, layeth a foundation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. Through your Bible foundation, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Over there in Psalm 11 and verse 3. It talks about how they had to dig down, lay the foundation of the temple in 1 Kings 5 and said it. Chapter 7, and it also talks about the fact that that foundation was laid in costly stones and things. And so he says, he is like a man which built an house, verse 48, dig deep. When you dig, you take something out so that you can put something in. You getting this? You know what Paul did? He helped people take some things out, but he helped them put them in. I am wore out with preaching that's all about taking out, taking out, taking out, and they don't have enough of their own foundation to show them what somebody how to put it into their life long term. You're not helping somebody put it something into their life long term by telling them they need it. No, all you're doing is creating a need, a frustrating need. Watch. He laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently. That's like really strong, okay? Upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Where are the wise master builders? I doubt that preachers are ever going to listen to this. I doubt that. Any preacher I know is going to listen to this. But if he did, and if you did, if you're a preacher and a teacher, shame on you for not being a wise master builder and fulfilling that role in people's lives. And you know something? Some of their failures, even though they're going to have to bear the brunt of it, it's going to be laid at your feet too, dear friend. You say, well, how dare you say that? Because this book says so. You're not teaching people. You know what the Pharisees did? They taught them one thing, but the Pharisees didn't do it. And I know many a preacher, Bible-believing, Baptist, independent, you know, camp meeting. And their life is a shambles and a shame in private. You know why? Because they have forgotten what someone laid in their life, and because they haven't been helping others have a foundation, they've lost it. They're not building on that good foundation. You see, going to heaven is a serious thing. What do you need? A foundation. The foundation's everything. Look, you could live 50 years as an active Christian. You could have respect and be in demand and highly spoken of within your church, and you could lose it all or a lot of it. And what does it have to do with the foundation? And the streams of life, the storms of life, and that stream beat vehemently. You know why a lot of people fall by the wayside? It's because there were no master builders in their life. Now, too many people, too many of them will not do this. Too many of you will not do this. And what will happen is you'll see it too late. here's what I remember. In 1973, I got saved. I didn't know what it all meant. I know. The moment I got saved, right in that time period, I mean, just almost immediately, the Lord started dealing with me about preaching the Bible. I had other plans in life. And I got an offer to go somewhere and be trained, and I declined it, and I had no idea why. I take no credit for the decision. And I would not be sitting here with my King James Bible open and doing this if I had taken that offer. And it was training. It was, you know, ministry training. A few years later, in 1977, I was about 2 years into a course of study, and I had to choose again. And if I had not walked away from it, I wouldn't be here. That's why my message is this. Where are the wise master builders? You know what God did in his grace? He put me under some wise master builders. You know, the thing I'm concerned about is that people don't realize. You know, in Hebrews 6, he said, not laying again the foundation of repentance towards Christ. He said, we're not going to lay it again. We're not going to lay again the foundation of repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. There's a lot of people that do that. There's a lot of independent fundamental Baptists. There's a lot of people that give these great altar calls, and they keep retreading people because they don't know their Bible, and they've never stopped to be a wise master builder. In this foundation are very special things. And I'm just going to mention a few things about a wise master builder because I'm not trying to belay the point or try to help somebody become one overnight. But I'm going to say this. There's few ministers that are laying foundations. And the reason is, it's the hardest, humblest work. It's a hidden work as the building goes up. And there's no credits go to the foundation layers. Yet it is the missing ingredient. See, you have to do this by faith. If you do not sow, you cannot know. If you do not sow, you cannot grow. And if you do not sow, you cannot go. You have to sow. You say, so what? Not as in so what. So what should I sow? You have to sow the book. You have to sow obedience. You have to sow time. You have to study and sit. See, the problem is there's no wise master builders because they're not going to put the time into people by faith. They want everybody to grow on their own. You know what I've seen? I have lived to see people criticize the wise master builder that God put in their life while they're not being master builders, and that's their excuse. Well, I don't want somebody interfering. Ready? Couple things. A master builder knows the whole process. A master builder knows the end result and how everything fits together. Do you know how foolish it is to take these young preachers and put them in charge of churches? Do you know how foolish it is for one who just knows the bits and pieces to instruct others? And yet that's what everybody's trying to do. Do you know why? Nobody wants to be the wise master builder who lays the foundation in a person's life. You say, well, how do you lay a foundation in a person's life? Time and effort and conflict and oversight. The master builder. A true master builder has to go through testing and certifying. It's not based on an award of homes or parade of homes, you see? And all these Christian colleges and stuff nowadays, and even in independent Baptist circles, everyone wants to go around and have somebody that they're going to have out of their church. And my goodness, listen to me. I saw recently Americans taking their little narrow form of Christianity overseas and trying to minister in that peculiar way to people who have no interest and shouldn't have any interest as Christians in their own culture in that kind of ministry. Americans have become proud and arrogant, thinking that their little narrow way is what everybody should receive happily if they're really right with God. And the person who's carnal and the person who's still narrow and a baby is the person doing the ministering, because they do not have any concept of wise master building. Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me. You say, okay, well, it's just a call. Oh, no, 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 no. Paul had to be willing to do his 3 years. in the desert. Paul had to be willing to sit under those things. Paul had to be willing to do it. It took an effort. But I'm saying to you, the master builder knows the whole process. It's like Gregory's seven laws of teaching. The teacher must know all the volume of material, even if all they're going to do is teach first, second, third grade. They've got to know where it's going and what fits together. So the wise master builder, in order to lay a foundation, has to understand the building. You can't build a two-story building safely on the foundation made for a one-story building. Now, if someone's wise, they build a foundation that can handle it in case someone adds on. But you see, the master builder knows the whole process. He's not there for the whole process. He can't do the building of their life for them, but the first part is a disciplined time. There, I can't think of one so-called Bible college that even comes close to being the kind of environment where you're getting a foundation laid in your life. So you know what a lot of kids are doing and a lot of people are doing? They're building their Christian life on an unfirm foundation, and they're not going to go back and make sure it's firm. Ain't got time. Got to keep going. Got a plan going. I got ambition. All right, so the master builder, he knows this whole process, and that's why he knows what to put in where, what parameters to do, how to get this thing square, how to get it level. Do you understand how incredible they built things before any electrical technology? Now, most of you are never going to do this, but you can use a thing called a water level. It's basically like a garden hose, but it's clear, and it's capped off. And you can take that thing and put it on one corner of a room, and you can run it over ladders and saw benches and furniture and stuff and take it to the opposite corner of the room, and you can make a mark according to that water level, and then you can use all the technology you want, and you're going to have a perfect level mark from wall to wall. You can take a string and a weight and hang it, and you can plumb a wall even more perfectly than a lot of levels you'd go out and buy because they might not be calibrated. So God didn't make this thing some mystery that had to be waited till now. And the thing that's standing in the way is technology. You say, well, you're using technology right now. I'm not talking about that kind. There's no shortcut to opening your Bible and sitting down and learning it. So secondly, the master builder holds the oversight, not so he can lord over people, but because he is the master builder. It's been my blessing to be on a lot of construction sites, residential, even large commercial sites. And the master builder is the one who holds the oversight because he's both accountable and actively involved. And you know where you run into trouble? When the master builder just leaves it to chance. When the master builder just leaves it to someone who doesn't understand the whole process. You see, he's both accountable and actively involved. He holds the oversight for a reason. You see, here's what happens. Let's say you have a organized system like a college today in the United States, you know, Christian colleges, universities. And someone goes, well, that hasn't worked. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to have haphazardness. No, that's the other extreme. That's a reaction that's not any good. The wise master builder says, okay, we need to learn discipline in your life. You know, some people and a lot of young people today, they only have discipline about what they want to do. They don't have discipline over themselves. That's what he was writing to the Corinthians about. Paul writes about it throughout his writings to them. The thing they didn't have their victory over was self. And you see, the idea is this, is the master builder, he holds the oversight because he's the master builder, not so he can feel strong or powerful or lorded, but it has to be there. I've been on many a construction site, as I was saying, residential and commercial. And it was essential that the head foreman, the construction boss, come through and check things out. It was essential because whether it be bad weather hindered someone, or they were tired, or perhaps they were just slack, or they did the easier thing instead of the more essential thing. We were laying pillars for a large building. And the one fella had charge of, say, three of the pillars, and this other crew had charge of three of them. And we're going to put a steel building on these pillars down in the ground. And the one fella cut corners on his forms. And so the pillars were not how they should have been, and they couldn't stand the test. And the foreman caught it. The master builder caught it before we buried him. Or he would have buried his mistakes, and they might have even buried people later because of the building. You see, many times the problem doesn't show up till later, and your problem may not show up till the judgment seat of Christ. That's what's so dangerous. So the reason you have to have organized, the reason there has to be this balance between a college, university, and all this stuff, you know, and all this hoopla, and nothing. Let me give you an example. Every church, of course, ought to be teaching the Bible in their Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever they do it. They ought to be. But you cannot lay a foundation without there becoming an agreement between a person and the master builder. I'm going to be here at such and such a time, and I know teacher, master builder, you're going to be here at such and such a time, and I'm in this for the long haul, and we're going to do this. Let me give you an example. Suppose you're building the foundation of a house or a building, and let's just say, for example, it's 60 feet, which is about, say, 20 meters. Let's say it's 60 feet by, we'll say 30 feet, 10 meters, 1,800 square feet, 30 meters, you know, by 600 square meters, okay? Let's just say you're doing that. Imagine if the first side, we'll just say there's a north, south, east, and west to this building, because there is to every building. Let's just say the north side, you really put some effort in. And the south side, you put some effort in. But down that eastern side, you get about halfway down and you're like, this doesn't matter very much. And so you go about half as deep on this foundation and you use half the amount of materials. You know what you've just done? You've endangered the whole building. Now, every wall may not fall, but part of it's going to. You know why? Because it takes really hard work. It takes oversight. So number three, the master builder has one real goal, and that's a solid, worthy house. The master builder's goals isn't signs and awards and accolades, or it's the product. And so the foundation is everything. And especially if the master builder realizes this person has to build on this, it's their job to build on it, but I need to make it where they can. Listen, I can remember we pulled up on a job site one time, and you've seen walls on a house, you know, they're the thickness of what's called a 2x4, 4x2. And they had laid out one end of the house a certain distance. They had laid out the other a certain distance. And they had missed. One guy measured his to the inside, one to the outside. And so we had a house out of square. And we had to do a lot of extra work. And we had to find a way to make that thing solid. And it wasn't what it could have been if they'd done the foundation right. So the master builder has one real goal, and that's a solid, worthy house. It isn't to graduate somebody. It isn't to get a name for themselves. It isn't so someone will pass on the word. It isn't to feel good about themselves. It isn't, you know, to make tuition out of the person. Are all those things possible and necessary? Yeah. If someone does a great job master building, then God will bless them. But here's my point. The goal is the foundation. You see, I'm just going to bring me to say the fourth thing then. The master builder sees what must go, what can stay, and what needs to be added. Oh, that's simple, but it's profound. It's so-called deep. The master builder sees what must go, what stays, and what to add if you're going to lay a foundation. I guess if I had a prayer, it's that people who do not really have a foundation would make up their mind that by God's grace, they're going to get a foundation. Oh, you've got one, by the way. You've got one. He said that in Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus did. But if you're not careful, here's what's happening. You're building your life upon what someone said God will accept. And you're neglecting some of the things because those people neglect them. And you're spending your life just living. and you're going to live today, and you're going to live tomorrow, and that'll turn into 3 months, and that'll turn into 6 months, and that'll turn into a year, and that'll turn into 3 years, and that'll turn into 10 years, and that'll turn into 20 years, it'll turn into 40 and 50 years, and you're going to die and go to heaven, and God's going to say, why didn't you dig down deep and lay a foundation? Why didn't you do something about this from the beginning? You see, many a Christian, and I mean young person, you know, many a young person has totally decided, they have just completely decided, I'm just gonna wing it, you might say. You know what he said? He said he's like a man which built an house and digged deep. You know what happens when you dig deep? You take something out and you haul it off and get rid of it. He digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. There are very few younger Christians, younger as in 30s and 40s, that have dug deep in their life. And I've heard a lot of preaching in my lifetime, and I still do. Follow for all kinds of preaching. And it's not deep. So it was deep, you know, knowing Greek and Hebrew? Of course not. In fact, that's baby stuff. That's a piece of cake. Lost people study biblical Greek and Hebrew and exegete it and all that. Yeah, there's nothing to that. No, deep is when you've got to dig down and let God dig out some things. You know what most people are doing? They're waiting for God to do the digging. Here's what he said. Here's what Jesus said. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So if you dug two feet and found rock, amen. But what if you had to dig 6 feet, 2 meters, to find rock? Most people aren't going to do it. They're just going to dump in a bit of sand and concrete and go for it. Oh, yeah. You know, even some of the even what you pour in matters. That's why they test it on commercial jobs. They have guys there right there on the site, and they pour. They'll take samples of that wet concrete, pour it in a tube, and test it. Why? Because hundreds of thousands, yay, millions of dollars can be saved by cutting corner on materials. The master builder sees what must go. One of the greatest errors of American missionaries is they do not recognize what must go and what can stay in the culture in which they go to it. In fact, I know this sounds crazy, but about 7 or 8 out of 10 do the opposite of what ought to be done. They're trying to get out of somebody's culture what can stay, and they're trying to put into it what those people do not need because they brought American Christianity with them. So now, wait. See, some people go and they go, well, you know, alcohol's in this culture. Well, it's got to go. Well, you know, fornication's in this culture. Well, it's got to go because the Bible says so in Acts chapter 15. See? But there's a whole lot of things that American missionaries are going around the world trying to get people to take out of their lives that need to stay there. And then some of them go over there and they try to get them to add and receive something that's totally foreign to their culture. And your little teeny tiny American culture that people love the way you do or preach or whatever, you just need to keep it at home. You're still a baby while everyone's telling you how awesome you are. You say, well, this is hard stuff. I know. But nobody else is saying it right now. It was being said 30 years ago. Where do you think I heard it? That's where I heard it. I didn't make this up. Well, it's kind of hard. Well, I know that. But the motive is this. The master builder says, oh, this has got to go. This can stay. And here's what we need to add. That's the Christian life, but that's true of everything. It's true in business. It's true in sports. It's true in building. It's true in landscaping. It's true in the medical profession. A good doctor will study natural medicine on the side at the very least to have an idea of a well-rounded process. They'll just go cutting and hacking. But at the same time, if something's got to be cut and hacked, then they know they got to do it. And I'm saying to you, where are the master builders? You know why we're not going to have any master builders in the 30 and 40-something people? because they're not sitting under master builders. They're all looking for the next place to be and go and do. And everyone is telling them, why do you think Paul wrote Timothy and said, not a novice? Because the tendency is to give a novice authority and give a novice, what would you call it, influence. Give a novice recognition. Because everybody's looking for the next thing. America is the worst there is about it. We are so shallow in the United States of America and our Christianity. It is pitiful. You know why? No digging deep. It takes too much time. Do you know, a man I sat under for 4 years, he came to a point in his life before I ever met him, long before, where he was already effective preaching and teaching. And yet he sacrificed his life personally and his time without ever knowing what God would do to be a wise master builder. And all he was trying to do was lay a foundation. Now, some fellows went out and all they ever had was the foundation. And the house they built looked all rickety and crooked, but the foundation was right. At the same time, tens and then scores and then hundreds of men and women have gone out and done the work of God, and many of them are master builders. They're not all, I get it. They haven't made the effort, but they have taken time. There's no substitute for time and effort. There is no substitute for digging down. There is no substitute for knowing what to take out, what to leave, and what to add. And one of the greatest things that's happened, if the Lord tarries 20 years, and he very well may, prophecy is not being laid aside and refuted by it being, 2017. It's not. Not in the least. If he tarries another 10, 20, 30, 40 years, heaven forbid what Christianity is going to be like. Because I'm telling you, it's a mess right now. And the reason? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? They've got to go back and build a foundation. Ezra had to do it. Remember Ezra and Nehemiah? They had to spend a great deal of time rebuilding. Ezra talks about foundation constantly. He said, well, what is the solution? Number one, a person has to say, Lord, I'm in church and I'm this and I'm that, but I need a foundation. You know, the average Christian doesn't know what Jesus' sayings are. He knows a handful of them. She knows a handful of them. And the average Christian doesn't ask if they're obeying them. They ask others, hey, how am I doing? Am I doing okay? You like me? We all good? All right. Mutual Admiration Society, my grandfather used to call it. But what about it? Where are the wise master builders? God bless you.